Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast to tell you about my friends over at the Gaslight on the Hill in St. Louis, Missouri. Check it out at GaslightSTL.com for a full listing of upcoming events and book yourself a tour. Come over and check it out. It's a beautiful recording studio attached to a bar, and they all happen to share a wall with Cha Cha Chow, so you can come over and get some tacos, some cold drinks, watch one of your favorite bands record in the studio, and just have a great time. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram while you're at it. Like I said, full listing of events, GaslightSTL.com. Also wanted to tell you about my friends at Music Record Shop. They have a brand new location. They just moved over to Washington Avenue, right over there next to KDHX. So come visit the new location, new records every Friday, live in stores, a lot on the weekends. You can follow them also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Shop online 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hi, this is Bill Ryder from The Urge and El Monstero, and you are listening to Rock Paper Podcast with Shane Presley.
Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out today with Bill Ryder. Well, welcome back to the show.
Hey, well, I'm glad to be here. Thanks.
We were just kind of catching up here a little bit. We did one of these before right here in your we were at your home again.
Yeah.
And we did one before. It was like episode 59. I think that was your very first podcast.
Absolutely, yep.
And then it was one of my first, like, by myself. I brought my buddy Alex with me, but that was one of our, it was kind of the start to where when Chris was leaving the show, and we kind of transitioned. And but since then, since that day, I've been doing the show by myself a lot, and we got quite a few more episodes.
Nice, yeah.
Posted now. Well,
what is this? What is this one going to be?
Well, this will be 300 or something. And so five or six or something like that.
That's awesome.
But yeah, I mean, so thank you for coming back, and I figured it'd be good to catch up. This is gearing up for your busy time of the year for you.
Yeah. We have The Urge is playing the weekend before Thanksgiving. I think it was the 18th and the 19th of November, and then El Monstero will be doing their thing, our thing, I guess. December 16th, 17th?
Yeah, so we got
and then the 22nd, the 23rd?
29 and
30. And
29
and
30. Yeah. So, so let's start with the Urge shows, man. That's, so last time we talked, Galvanized was out. We were talking 20 years of receiving the gift of flavor and, some things that you guys were working on then. And, we talked about doing some stuff, but since then you guys have re-recorded the album live, which I was a part of, which was a lot of fun.
That was fun, yeah.
So that's out. You have the live version of the record and available now. We talked about potentially a covers project.
Yeah,
is that still something that?
No. What? I'll tell you what. It's difficult for us sometimes to, because everybody has so many other things going on.
Right.
That the whole covers idea, and it's funny to bring that up because I totally forgot about that. So that was the kind of the original plan, and so now we're working on a batch of songs that include some covers, but also some brand new songs.
Okay.
What shape that takes or how it's going to be delivered. Is anybody's guess at this point. I think I would be surprised if we did a physical product. I think it might just be for download and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But we are working on it.
Right.
That's we're working on it.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get lucky and maybe get one to hear before the end of the year.
Yeah.
But we're working on it, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think Galvanized, I think it did really well.
I'm just speaking for myself, but I'm sure for everybody else in the band, like, I'm really proud of it. I think it's safe to say it's my favorite one, and it's for a lot of different reasons, but I think it charted our evolution individually and as a group.
Right.
You know, it was like all of a sudden it just came out of, oh yeah, remember this? And it didn't sound like stuff that we'd done before, but it was reminiscent of it, and I thought I'm really proud of it.
Yeah.
So that's my favorite one.
Yeah, I agree. It's a great record, and hopefully you guys get some of this new songs.
Yes, hopefully, yes, soon.
Do you plan to try to play in these live this show?
It's being discussed.
Okay.
I wouldn't guarantee it. The interesting thing about the show this year, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Is that we're kind of going to do it in reverse chronological order. So we're doing two sets again, but the first set will be comprised of newer material, say from obviously Galvanized and Too Much Stereo, and then the second set will be kind of Master Styles Receiving Good Flavor, on backwards.
Yeah.
So then that's all Jerry Joe's idea, actually, and I really love that idea.
Yeah.
So that's that is the plan right now. So theoretically, at the very, very top of the show, you might hear something that you've never heard before. But at the top of the show, you're definitely going to hear some things that you haven't heard in a while, either way, because we're going to have to do two sets. Well, not have to. That was our plan.
Yeah.
Because we enjoyed it so much for last year's show when we just did Receiving the Good Flavor by itself, that we just wanted to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the hook. But basically, we're just going to be playing for... Right. We're going to be playing all night, one way or the other, so...
Yeah, I plan to at least be the 18th show. I try to make the 19th as well.
Nice.
Those are always a good party.
Yeah, it should be fun. I'm really looking forward to it.
Every time you guys do that, you know, people throw out a request, and they always there's always a bunch of those that come up that they want to hear the old ones, like... Dirty Rat.
Yeah. And well, the Dirty Rat will definitely make an appearance.
And Midget Basketball.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah. Like, I got a couple of buddies. They're always, they talk about it. It's been forever since they've heard those songs, so it'd be fun to.
I think that Midget Basketball, aside from its unfortunate title and lyrics, it's one of those songs that people think they want to hear, but I really think when it happens, people go, "Oh yeah, right." You know, it's because we've done it. I mean, not recently, but say in the 2000s, we did it once or twice, and people go, "Oh right, yeah, this is not that hot." It's like funny, I guess, but so. No, that's not going to happen.
I think it's more just the nostalgia.
Sure.
Yeah, right.
So yeah.
The memories that are related around that, and that time and everything else. So.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see what you guys pull out. It's always something different. It's always, you guys do a lot of work to keep it fresh every year.
Yeah, we try.
So it's always fun to see the new stuff. But last year, I think, was... when you guys put the boards in the back there, the display boards, was that last year's, or is that?
Well, last year was we kind of did the small Mississippi Nights set, for lack of a better word. Yeah. So but then once the funny part about it was that we had to make so much room for that for the Mississippi Nights part that once that disappeared, the stage was massive.
Yeah,
and we go, holy cow, there's all kinds of room up here. So we were pushed because everything else was pushed all as far back as it could possibly go. And yeah, so we'll have video screen and all that jazz.
Mario running across the
street. All right.
So that's happening again November. What did we say? 18th and 19th.
Yeah.
And that's tickets are available if you head over to thepageant.com and grab those and get you some tickets. Come party with the Urge.
Yeah, it's gonna be a good time.
And then, we mentioned El Monstero also. That's coming up, and this is the 18th anniversary. Is that right?
Yes, it is. That 18th year. Yeah.
So we got December 16th, 17th, and then 22nd, the all reserved seated show.
Yeah.
So if you'd rather not be on the dance floor and want to have a seat instead, I think.
Well, I like it. I mean, it's cool because there's a lot of. I mean, I can see it. I can envision a future where the whole show is that. Mm-hmm. We haven't made any decision like that, but I can see it happening just because I think it's better for the folks coming to the show because then you can kind of relax and not have to wait outside and if it's the bad weather or whatever, you have people lined up outside in the rain or the cold. And so it's definitely being talked about. For that just to be that way,
sure.
Because then everybody can just, go to dinner or whatever, and not have to worry about, getting the spot. So I think that's pretty cool.
And as much of a rock show as it is, it's still very much a theater show.
Totally. Yeah.
So it's not something people are really dancing around a lot to.
Right. Yeah.
It's not like the Urge shows when people are moshing and
no. Stuff. Yeah, we're definitely not going to do it an all seated Urge.
Right.
That'd be funny though.
Yeah. But. Like saying, there's a lot where you could, you can just kind of sit back and relax and enjoy it. And so
yeah, well, it's very visual. Yeah, right. I mean, it's like you say.
So that's and then that's the 22nd, and then you have the 23rd, 29th, and 30th. And again, all those tickets are available, thepageant.com, Ticketmaster and stuff. So or Pageant box office. You guys got some ideas in the works for making these?
There's, we always try and add a new song or two. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. And so we're definitely going to do that this year. We haven't decided just yet what it's going to be. But obviously there's certain things that you can't monkey around with. So we're obviously going to, you know, everything that's expected will be played for sure. Right. But then there'll be a couple of curveballs. One or two.
I had a buddy write in a question about for you.
Oh, yeah?
And he asked if El Monstero would ever consider performing Piper at the Gates of Dawn in its entirety.
Ooh.
Do you have any ideas?
That's interesting. In its entirety, probably not.
Yeah.
Just because I don't think that... I don't think that maybe a lot of people are familiar with that record, but definitely parts of it. It comes up all the time,
right?
And I think that maybe we did one tune. We did one song off of that one year, but I'm not really sure. But doing it all together would be tough,
right?
Just because I think people would lose interest in it. Like a big chunk of the crowd would be like, I don't know what this song is.
But you guys did Dark Side and Wish You Were Here Nights, right?
No. I mean, they're kind of always part of the show. I mean, we play... I think the only... Dark Side of the Moon is, especially around the wintertime, is we do that from top to bottom every time.
Right.
So that's kind of... The Wall, we do most of it. I think there are only a couple of songs that we've never done. Like, I know we've never done The Trial.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I think we've hit all of the songs on The Wall just at different times.
Right.
Like we've done Waiting for the Worms one year, and then we do it. And we do Don't Leave Me Now, and then we don't do it some one year. But Animals, I think, is the only album that we've, other than Dark Side of the Moon, that we've played the whole thing. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, because I know at the beginning of the Art Hill show, I think we did Animals. We did the whole record. It was like the beginning when the sun was still out.
Yeah.
And I think we did Animals all the way through. I think maybe we'd consider it, but I don't think we'd ever do it.
All right.
Because I don't think people would necessarily get it.
Sure.
Because there's always a song or two where you can see people go, I don't know what this is. But then, you know, one dude is losing his mind because it's like his favorite song.
Sure.
It's like, oh, I can't believe they played that. And, you know, the person right next to him is going, I don't know what this is. So.
Yeah, well, at least not ruling it out.
No, I wouldn't rule it out, but I wouldn't count on it.
Right.
That would surprise me. But I'll bring it up.
Yeah.
You never know.
For sure. Yeah, it doesn't hurt to ask.
Yeah.
I don't know, those are always just a great time. I took my, I've introduced my mother-in-law to the show.
Ah, nice.
And I introduced my Uncle Dennis to the show. I took him to one of the last ones I went to, last December. And we just had a great time, but it's fun every time I try to take somebody new with me to the show. And
what'd they think?
They loved it, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, obviously they were all, they were Pink Floyd fans too, but like the show is just unreal.
Nice.
It's just, but yeah, we both had, that was, I guess 2 years ago, my mother-in-law went with me, and she went with me again last year also. So I went to, I think I went to two shows last year, like two or three. But yeah, it's just, it's fun to like, to take, especially, I mean, it's always fresh for me every year is something different, but it's also fun to watch a first timer and see the show and stuff. And
cool.
And it's with my Uncle Dennis, we got there early enough that we were down on the floor right next to the catwalk.
Yeah.
So that was fun to be right up in the action. And
nice.
And then we got Dave, right? Vocals.
Oh, well, Mark.
Mark. I got a shot, like, it's just from my phone, but it turned out pretty nice. But he's, like, when he does the splits, like, right there in the front and stuff, so it was a pretty good shot.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Great.
I'm excited to see what you guys, again, do for that show. Like, it's just always exciting to see the evolution of that show. And
Well, and we're always trying to, and Kevin Gagnepain in particular is always trying to figure out a way to add some kind of new a visual element, especially. But we're always trying to find. It's like, well, what can we do that we haven't done yet? Mm-hmm. So it's an interesting challenge, and we start. You know, I guess we started meeting. You know, a couple of months ago, I think.
Right.
And you know, start to get the set list together and what you know, and then you find opportunities for. The video content, and are we going to need to shoot something new for this, or you know, how are we going to open the show? What's the plan? So,
is that? I mean, obviously, that's a besides the production, but I mean, that's a big band you guys have to do. Like, are you guys able to practice a lot together, or how's that work for you guys?
We typically start rehearsals. Let's put it this way. Let me see. We're gonna El Monstero rehearsal is going to start the weekend before the Urge shows.
Yeah.
So we'll load in and set up, like, stay on that Sunday, which I guess is this... What weekend is that? Next weekend?
Yeah, next weekend.
It's not today, is it? Am I missing something? I don't think so. And so then we'll rehearse, like, two or three times a week for the 3 weeks leading up to the shows, basically.
Yeah.
So we get, you know, 9 or 10 rehearsals in. And then obviously the setup for this whole Megillah is a very lengthy process. So that's kind of like another rehearsal.
Sure.
But at this point, we've been together so long.
Right.
And we've been playing so much more, you know, quote. I mean, not a lot more, but, we, you know, there's extra road shows at the beginning of the year and then the summer show. So it's a lot less, you know, 10 years ago. Would be, you know, like there was a lot of cobwebs to yeah. dust off because it's like, oh, I haven't played these songs in a year.
Right.
Whereas now that doesn't happen. So I think it's a lot more internalized. There's not a lot of. I think this is my 13th year I've done it. So you know, there's not a lot of note taking or
yeah.
you know, me and Jake haven't used, you know, cheat sheets for
sure
a good long while now. It's like we used to have you know sheet music up there. Like I don't remember how the song goes.
Yeah. Were you always a big fan of these songs?
Yes.
Before?
Yeah, yeah, big time. Yeah. The my neighbor across the street from me when I was, God, so how old would I have been when, so I guess I was 8 when The Wall came out. My neighbor across the street from me, his name is Gary Dwyer, and he had an older brother, and so that was the first time I heard Mother, I guess when I was 8 or 9 years old, and it was the first... It was the first music that I'd ever heard that gave me the impression that I shouldn't be listening to it. You know what I mean? I was like, oh, this is, there's something about this that I'm not getting entirely. You know, I'm not fully understanding what it is I'm listening to. I think this is kind of beyond me. And that was the first time that it ever happened. That was really exciting. I was like, oh, wait, you know, this isn't like, you know, the Statler Brothers or whatever, right. You know, whatever my mom was listening to. You know, it's like, this is like, holy cow, this is, I probably shouldn't be, this sounds like for grown-ups, this yeah. is cool. And so, yeah, I fell in love with The Wall, and that was, and I, it, you know, but part of those people will say, oh, I don't know any Pink Floyd songs. I've had people say this to me, and I go, yeah, you do. You know, you've heard Money. I know
yeah.
you have.
Sure.
So those, you know, I was aware of them. But that was the first time when The Wall came out. I was like, "Oh man, this is really cool." So then I was started, you know, going back and listening to all of this stuff. I think I called when The Wall came out on CD. I called like multiple friends of mine and said, "Get down to Record Town because they have copies of The Wall on CD." So
yeah, who makes that call anymore?
Right. Well, this was yeah. I guess I was a. I'm pretty sure my mom dropped me off at the mall.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure. Well, maybe I drove there. Maybe I would have been 16.
Sure.
Yeah, that's. I was 16 when CDs happened.
Yeah.
Or so.
Yeah, that's it's kind of a lost thing now.
Yeah.
We have a couple of really great record stores still left in town, but it's like, yeah. I mean, I remember the days of like, you know, where they are everywhere. You know, it's like, but. Very far and few between. There.
Yeah, no kidding. When was the last time you saw a record store in like in the mall?
Yeah.
Those are gone.
Yeah,
now.
I remember. The Sam Goody in the mall. So,
yeah,
yeah. But And what was it? I don't know. Was it Street Side? I wouldn't say Street Side, but I don't think there's somebody else, some other record. But anyway.
And then I saw the movie. Yeah. Like, so then I sought out the movie, you know, a few years later, and was also not old enough to really get it. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, just, you know, it was like watching 2001. You know, I don't know, how old were you when you saw that movie for the first time?
What's that?
2001, Space Odyssey. Space Odyssey.
You know, I don't know. I'm sure I've seen it, but I,
yeah.
I don't know.
I saw it with my dad when I was like 10, and I'm like, I don't know. I don't think I understand what's going on here.
All right.
I was like, I have to go back and watch that when I'm a little older.
There's a lot of, like, you know, classics, I guess, or, what you know, like, these movies that everybody's seen, and there's a lot of them, right?
Yeah.
I've never seen. I typically, I tried, like, recently I've kind of gone back and watched some older ones that I've missed, but I watch a lot of comedies. So that's my favorite, so yeah, it's funny, like, just fairly recently, you know, watched like Goodfellas and
stuff,
stuff like
that. For the first time?
Yeah, like, I mean, not like this year, but like way later than everybody else.
Yeah, right on. So, okay.
Yeah, like things like that, where, and that's like, I always think of, there's a Jim Gaffigan bit where he talks about like watching movies like way after, and like, he's like, yeah, just watch The Heat. You know, he's like, yeah, didn't that like come out like, you know, he's like, yeah, well, I'll talk about it now. You know, I don't know if I can't recall if I've seen 2001. Maybe you check it out.
Yeah, check it out. It's a good one.
Yeah?
Yep.
So, yeah, I can remember, I think it was my cousin Jeff, we were cruising around. He was a couple years older than me, and I think he had The Wall on tape. I think that was my first introduction. I was, you know, maybe probably 10 or 12 or whatever, something like that. And then, but I remember riding around with him in his car, and I think that was my first memories of hearing another Brick in the Wall and all these songs. And like, it was just, it was something happening there where it's like, this is really cool.
Yeah.
It was pretty influential on me. That, like, and he also, I think, had Eazy-E.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely.
And, so I had obviously that's still a very big part of me too.
Yeah.
So anyway, listen to like that. He was probably like one of the. I had my parents' influence on a lot of blues and rock and roll and stuff, and. But those were the memories I have with Jeff, and like where we learned some of that stuff from him. And
yeah, it's always somebody's. Yeah, it's somebody just a little bit older than you.
Right.
And you, what was that? What is this?
But those great songs. So, and I just love, like, you know, again, like, you know, how we talked about the show, and it's just like the theatrics of it all, and how, you know, the characters involved in the story and throughout the show, and. It's just, it's a lot of fun. It's a really incredible. It's almost like, I told somebody one time, it was like, it's almost like a sensory overload kind of thing. I mean, you got the smoke and pyro and the lasers and the just everything, that all of it. It's pretty wild to take it all in.
That's the idea. That is definitely the idea. I don't think it would be too crazy to say that, like, Cirque du Soleil type of thing is kind of is certainly certain with certain parts of it is kind of what we're going for, you know. It's like we want it to be like a very broad kind of artistic endeavor, like that has a lot of different disciplines involved. Mm-hmm. So that's the idea. So
yeah, and then you guys always bring out special guests. I think that's always fun to see who joins you for the different nights and things.
Yeah, that's fun too.
Steve Ewing's done a couple.
And, yeah, he did have a cigar a couple times now, I think. He did it. Has he done it in the last 2 years? I'm not sure. Yeah, but Steve has done have a cigar. Jerry has done money several times now at this point. So,
And then you had Moon. Phil Snead came out.
Yep. Yeah, he killed it.
In his white suit.
Yeah. That was just this summer. Yeah.
So.
He did a good job. He, does, he always does. All of the guys that did, you know, like Matt McInerney has done it. You know, it's everybody. It kind of kills it. Yeah, that's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to do.
Definitely. So yeah, grab those tickets before they're gone. They sell out quick. So if you haven't got them, don't miss out. Get those. But yeah, man. So. Like I said, gearing up for a busy time of the year for you.
Yeah.
What? So besides all the Urge and El Monstero stuff, what else? You said you went some, did some deer hunting. What other stuff do you like to do in your free time?
That's a good question. I got the PlayStation VR.
Yeah.
So I kind of just live there now.
All right. Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't check that out. Do you have a video game console?
I had a 360 and it kind of got worn out and I never went and bought the
Xbox One.
Excuse me. Yeah, I never went and bought one or PlayStation 4. So
yeah. So I just got that. So I'm an avid gamer. I really like that and watch a lot of movies and me and my wife are kind of foodies, so we go out to eat a lot.
Yeah, now we're talking.
Yeah,
How's that VR? Is that like? Is it? It's pretty solid.
It's pretty cool. I mean, it's not perfect, but it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it's for what it is for when you consider that outside of the visor itself, they've kind of repurposed some fairly old technology. I mean, the core of the system is. Other than the visor, is the camera and they had these Move controllers that were kind of their answer to the Wii, the Nintendo Wii, and when you consider that those things are kind of 6 years old, maybe even older, and then they just had this new display on your head, it's pretty awesome.
Sure.
But they built in this like the option button on your controller will always recenter your view. And it seems to happen quite a bit. Like, you know, you'll finish, you know, a level or whatever, and then you look down and you're kind of off to the side a little bit, you know, so you just kind of look straight ahead and hit the button, and then you're back on track.
Sure.
So you have to do that quite a bit. But there's this game, it's called Eve Valkyrie, and it's like a space dogfighting thing, and it is a blast.
Yeah.
It's great. It's awesome. So I'm a big fan.
Yeah. I can remember, like, I don't know, I think it was with the Game Boy or something, one of those. But I remember they used to have some goggle things that you some VR stuff.
It was called Virtual Boy, wasn't it?
Virtual Boy. Yeah.
I want to say it was.
Yeah.
I remember that too.
Yeah. So I remember like this. Obviously, a lot of this stuff's like ideas have been around for a long time. But
yeah.
You know, now it's nice the technology's finally.
It's getting there. I mean, now I think it's really going to... This is going to be a thing that happens. Like, what the things that we were promised 25 years ago, I think are actually going to, like, come to fruition.
Right.
Because it's very convincing. Like, the feeling of presence is, even at that low level... Like, I can't imagine what the Oculus and a high-powered PC could do.
Yeah.
But it's pretty cool. I remember when there was... When I was a kid, there was a... thing at Union Station, and it was like a mall store, and it had like two or three little stations in it, and it was like a VR arcade, but they only had the one game, and it was just like you stood in the center of this deal and you had a gun and you just shot at targets that flew at you. but I remember it was like, but and the graphics looked like something out of Lawnmower Man. I mean, it was like as sophisticated as it, you know, it was just kind of shaded objects, basically. You know, it's like, oh, here comes a cube, and here comes a, like a star or whatever, and then you shot them, and that was the whole game, and it was expensive.
Yeah,
like I remember it being like $5 a pop to play this stupid thing. And I can't remember what it was called, but that was, you know, and this was a long time ago. So you know, somebody probably sunk a lot of money into that idea, thinking, man, virtual reality, here we go, and then you go, oh no, that kind of sucks. So. But now I think that the more people, more people are able to, you know, get a visor like that and use and especially use it with something that they already have, like their, like a, you know, a PlayStation or Xbox or their computer. Yeah. That's going to be, I think that's going to be a big deal. And the, and the more people that write games for it, then I think it's going to really, I do, I think it's going to take off. The we had, after the Urge just played at the Rock and Roll Marathon, at 10 o'clock in the morning, I think we went on. Maybe it was 11? I don't know, it was early. And after that, we all came back here and just made some pizzas on the grill, and the fellas brought their kids and everything, and we just, so we just had an endless line of kids trying out the VR thing, and it was a lot of fun.
Very cool.
So
yeah, that's cool to hear that you, I mean, besides you know, time on stage, but you guys get to hang out outside of the shows and stuff too.
Well, we knew, we made a point to do it that day because we knew that we were going to be done super early, and then we'd have the rest of the day to do something. So we just hung out here.
Yeah,
it was fun. It was a blast.
You said movies. You see any good movies lately?
We watch a lot of food documentaries.
So when you're not eating
food. Yeah. So we're like one wrong documentary away from being vegetarians, probably, because it's like, oh, those poor animals. So what have we watched lately though? Well, we watched some comedies recently. We watched Pop Star with Andy Samberg, which is really funny.
Yeah, that's one I really want to see. I still haven't got
it. It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Like if you liked, I wouldn't put it on the same level necessarily as like Dewey Cox or, but it's funny. It's good stuff.
I'm a big fan of all those guys, the Lonely Island stuff. So.
Yeah, they're funny. But we've watched on Netflix. They have a thing called Chef's Table, which is a really beautifully shot series about individual. They'll say, okay, today we're doing so-and-so, and we're just going to follow him around for... And they'll take place over the course of like a year, but that'll only be... It'll be condensed into a one-hour thing. It's pretty amazing.
Hmm.
And there was also a movie called Jiro Dreams of Sushi, which you should check out if you like sushi. It's about this dude in Japan... whose restaurant is like a three Michelin starred restaurant, but it's in a subway station and it's only got seven seats. So, so basically you have to get there, but he's like a master sushi maker.
Yeah.
It's a really cool movie. It's really
cool. I was talking to these guys, Shark Dad, the other night. They're kind of, this garage punk band kind of sound. And they,
an awesome
they
name.
Mentioned, they mentioned the movie came up in their episode also.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go.
So, it was actually kind of funny because they were talking about Jason, the singer, said he did some voiceover work for a video game.
Really?
So, when his character was named Jiro.
Huh.
And then that led into Jiro Dreams of Sushi.
That's awesome.
Reference. And then we start,
What do you know? What game it was?
It was kind of a crazy name. Huh. I have to go back and
listen. Yeah, to that one. Yeah, shoot me a face. I want to know. That's cool.
Anyway, but that was just. I thought it was funny that. That was just a week ago.
Yeah.
When reference came up. So.
Do you have Netflix?
I do. Yeah.
Fire it up.
Yeah.
Just go watch it.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good stuff. It's fascinating. Of course, it's all subtitled. So if that's a deal breaker, but it's a really good movie, and it's a crazy small. Like, the restaurant's not any bigger than this kitchen.
Right.
Like, it's cool. It's really neat.
Yeah. So where some of your favorite local eats?
There is a place right down the street called Edibles and Essentials, which is fantastic. And we go there quite a bit. We used to go to Niche in Clayton was our favorite restaurant, which is closed. So they have a new one opening called... Sardella, I hope I'm getting that right. But we're looking forward to trying that out.
Mm-hmm.
Where else do we go? Five on the Hill is awesome.
I went down there recently for what's it? Anthinos? How do you say that?
I don't know.
I think it's something like that. Anthinos.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a great place.
Yeah. We went down there for the first time and
nice.
On the Hill and had some. Some raviolis.
Ribs. That is a good joint too, for sure.
Yeah.
There's nothing but, I mean, you can't, there's nothing but good restaurants. Really. I mean, there are so many good places to eat in St. Louis.
Sure. I've been learning a lot more about, like, honestly, I've always been a fan of the food, but I've been learning a lot more about the, like, kind of behind the scenes sort of thing, like, especially now I'm working at Broadway Oyster Bar, so I'm, like, talking to their chefs about, you know, and hearing them talk about the specials they prepare and stuff like that. It's just, like,
yeah,
be cool to hear these guys, you know, talk about their work and stuff. They're very passionate about it and stuff, and it's just, it's fun.
Yeah. No, this is an amazing place to eat. We're very lucky. Like, a lot of people don't have, you know, the combination of like, relatively low cost and variety and, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, that's... quality, I guess, for lack of a better word, of the kinds of restaurants that we have in St. Louis. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and we have such a giant, eclectic blend of communities, too. So, like, you have all kinds of different stuff represented all around St. Louis. And
for sure. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Well, cool, man. Well, I'll let you get out of here. You got some plans for the day and stuff, but I appreciate you taking some time out to hang again.
Oh yeah, no, anytime.
So we can close this out with you have any songs you want to drop?
Okay,
maybe an Urge song,
absolutely,
or a Pink Floyd song, or anything like that.
That's a good question. I was always partial to Out on the Fringe off of Galvanized. I like that song a lot.
Yeah.
So how about that one?
Okay.
And if you want to, can we do two?
Sure.
Let's do a Pink Floyd song. Let's do Fearless.
Yeah.
There we go.
You got it. All right.
And then Chupacabra.
There we go.
it's a nice trio.
Yeah. So again, grab tickets, come see Bill with The Urge, November 18th and 19th, and El Monstero, December 16th, 17th, 22nd, 23rd, 29th, and
30th. Nice, yep.
And, it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Thanks again, Bill.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.